Out of the way, Gilka. We got too much show to do. Thank you very much to Gilka for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. The time is 6:01 in the p.m. You're listening to the Mascot Wedding Show. Wait, K-O-O-P, Hornsby Austin?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you got that. Wah! Who are you?
Mac Blake, too much show!
That's right. So let's just get to it. But first, my second favorite record of the year.
Oh.
Yes, played it quite a bit. I'll play it one more time. This is on the radio from their album Meltdown, Mind Spiders. Coming back, Mascot Wedding Show now.
Beep, bop, bop, bop.
The time is 6:03 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show, please do. The number is 472-5667. Do numbers not work for you as well as letters? Then 472-KOOP is the phone number for you. We are also on Twitter. We are at Mascot Wedding. You tweet it. I sees it. I reads it. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it. Nobody else. David Hotta, what did we just hear?
We just heard Mind Spiders from their Meltdown album that was on the radio, which is what we are. We're on the radio right now.
Boom. Did you like that song for personal reasons?
No, I like that.
Because you're a radioman.
Yes, I am a radioman. I was a naval officer for the longest time in WW2, and I mowed down the crowds.
How did you stay so young? Was it a Captain America situation where your super soldier serum kept you alive in ice? Or was it more like a Tim Travel?
Secret's out. I guess everybody knows about my super soldier serum. Now I guess I won't be able to sell them on Etsy anymore.
You know, that explains why. Because I always wondered, like, if Super Soldier Serum worked, they can't just make some more?
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess they could.
Oh, I cracked it.
Oh, nice.
I will tell you right now, the first batch is going to taste a lot like Big Red, primarily like Big Red.
I don't want any. It's fine.
Okay, good.
It's against my religion to be a super soldier.
Is that right?
Or no, I'm sorry. It's actually against my religion to take any sort of serums.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're already a super soldier of radio. How are you doing, Mac Blake?
I am doing very well. Mm-hmm. Since last we spoke, two things happened.
Yes.
Number one, the birth of our savior, David Hotta, happened. Hey!
Well, I mean, I was born a long time ago, but...
It was your birthmas.
That's right.
Which is apparently also called Christmas.
Yeah, some people, you know what? I just let them celebrate however they want.
Heathens, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Jews.
I love that people close down their businesses in order to honor my day.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice of them, and it's nice of me to let them.
How was your birthmas?
It was fantastic. It was probably my favorite.
How is it in relation to NBA action?
I'd say they're both equally fantastic.
Oh.
I was trying to think of other NBA slogans.
Did it make you want to be like Marvin Albert and bite a bitch?
Well, that's our one use of the word for today.
I get two more.
Oh, we do?
It says in my contract.
How come I never had to sign a contract?
Oh, not with the show.
Okay, just a daily contract.
My probation. My sponsor told me to do it. Guys, we got a very fun show in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
Two very special guests are going to help us look back at 2K12 and possibly look forward to 2K13. Make some spooky predictions. First one, he is a founding member of both Master Pancake Theater and Stag Comedy, Austin Sketch Comedy Powerhouse. He is also legally a man-child. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Parsons.
I did it. Did
you ever work for Esther's Follies, Joe?
No.
Moving on. Our next person left the salty shores of Austin this past year for the saltier shores of New York City, where she still does comedy. I'm told. I don't know why I'm giving you a razzy intro. She's back in town for the holidays. Ladies and gentlemen, Katie Sicking.
Hey!
Thanks, Mac.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Enjoying these salty shores of Austin again.
Enjoy our salty food.
It's very salty.
We tell people now, I don't know how long you've been gone, if you've forgotten, instead of saying, sweet Christmas, like most people do, here in Austin we say, savory Christmas. As a way just to greet people and also encourage the consumption of savory foods.
Yeah, and a lot has changed in Salt City since you left. So
Did you remember that we called it Salt City?
I knew there's a big rivalry between here and Salt Lake City. You guys, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up.
It's all right. It's all right. Fine. No apologies. Great.
I know it's a thing. I shouldn't have worn my Salt Lake City shirt.
I didn't want to say anything because then my vision would go red and I'd wake up and there'd be, I don't know what.
Doctors and nurses?
Last time I got so angry and my vision went red, I woke up and I was in a screening of Green Lantern.
Oh, no.
But this was this year.
Wait.
I don't know.
Were you at some sort of union and a college? Know.
I think I was at Bradley Cooper's house. He wasn't even in Green Lantern.
No, but he did audition for it.
Oh, well, maybe that's why. That explains why Bradley Cooper was dead.
He's using it as fuel.
I recently realized one of the worst things that someone can do because I'm talking about seeing red is if someone cries blood, that would be the most like repulsive thing. I had a list of like most repulsive things people could do.
Wasn't that in that movie In the Mouth of Madness?
Was it?
I never saw all of it.
Never saw it.
It's also in that James Bond movie.
Well, he didn't cry blood.
He just seeped it?
Yeah.
Just oozed it?
Le Chiffre?
Yeah, that's
played by Mads Mikkelsen or Mikkelsen.
Mikkelsen.
You guys are talking over my head.
Hang on, let me call him. It's Mikkelsen.
Hello? This is how I sound like when I speak English. Because he's not.
It's kind of like if Christoph Waltz had a cold.
Christoph Waltz.
Hello.
Can
the King Schultz impression replace Bane impressions now?
I have not seen Django Unchained
yet. Oh, okay. Well, good. Think about working on yours while you're watching it then.
Okay.
Because that's all I did.
King Schultz. I tried to... Actually, my sister is dating a guy from Honduras.
Ooh.
Who is a very nice individual. But his English is really good.
Uh-huh.
However, his accent is a little weird. Just because it's like he speaks English so well that he sort of arrived at this thing where it's not a Honduran accent. It's just kind of... I don't know. But I try to imitate... First of all, no one in my family agrees with me. But also, when I try to imitate it to them, they say it's insulting.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like it ends up sounding like Christoph Waltz.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do it right now.
Well, let's say he's here right now. Oh, hey, how's it going?
Hello, Mac. This is Rafa.
Nope. That is... I don't know what that was.
That's the Terminator, I think.
I don't know. See? It's not good. And he's... I don't want to think I'm making fun of him because he's a very, he's an awesome guy.
But he just happens to sound like the Terminator just had a tall glass of milk.
That sounds like good milk. But yes, speaking of movies.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the best of and the worst of 2012 and a variety of things. And anytime today you have you, the listener. Have a best of or worst of, it could be anything. Best Galachi 2012. Please call in or tweet it at us, and we will read it. Once again, the number 472-KOOP. Hopefully that one's easier to remember than just the one with letters.
Yeah.
Or numbers, excuse me. Or we are at Mascot Wedding on Twitter, the easier way to get in touch with us, because we are always looking at it.
That's right.
Because we hate eye contact.
I can already tell you the kolache one. That one's easy.
Yeah.
Best kolache I had in 2012 was this one sausage one with cheese and jalapeno. And the worst one I had was the second one I had after that. Two is too many.
Where'd
of those.
You get them? The kolache comic.
No, I got that one at Shipley's. Shipley's.
Oh. How dare you? Shipley's are great.
They are. Don't eat two.
You're right. I normally don't. I eat four.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I blow right past your little road marker.
Blow is the right word.
I think
that's what I did.
I think what your problem is you stopped at two. You need to hit the kolache high of three.
There you go. Exactly. Just put on some Deep Purple and light a candle and just stare at it and eat some kolaches.
Yeah, they call it hitting the wall, but you also hit the ceiling and the floor. And
I wonder if that happens to like Kobayashi. You know, if he does get an eater's high,
uh-huh.
Or if there's like a point where he's like, oh, I'm stuffed, and then there's a second one where his stomach exploded and it's just all seeping into like his chest cavity or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
And he's like, I can eat as much as I want.
He's got
no.
Like wing sepsis, where it's just like, I got sauce in my
I don't think he eats wings.
What? That's the one thing he's not good at?
I don't know. I saw him chomp some brains one time.
Mm.
Brains?
Yeah.
And you think he doesn't eat wings?
They're not human brains.
Oh.
Wait, is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Isn't that
like should
make
it like a zombie joke.
Huh? Like a monkey brain? Isn't that like a real dish?
Yeah.
In
yeah.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, chilled monkey brains. That one dude was all bad at licking his lips.
Yeah, what did he sound like?
I don't know. That's been a movie in years. Was he something like, monkey brains? Wasn't that it?
Yes, it was.
Here comes some monkey brains.
And he also encouraged people to do the twist.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. Trademark and copyright. I'm also you.
All right, so movies.
Okay.
Oh, getting right into it.
Yep. Driving the bus.
Jeez, all right. I guess you're the boss of Radio Town, you dummy.
Crack that whip.
All right, well, Joe.
Oh, no, don't make me start.
Oh, no, we're making you start. No.
Yeah, you're making yourself start.
You couldn't wait.
All right, what'd you like, what'd you didn't like?
What'd you didn't like?
Is there an ejector seat?
did Avengers come out this year?
Yes.
That's on there. Avengers was, that's definitely on my list of probably one of the more enjoyable movies.
How long is this list, by the way? Because this is an hour long show.
Well, then I guess I will cut it down.
No, cut it in half to
150. And, no, the Avengers I really liked. It was a really enjoyable experience. And I think more than anything, it far surpassed my expectations. I was expecting it to be really dumb, and it was really good.
When I think of this year, I will also think of the Avengers. Partially, hats off to that dude, Joss Whedon, for just managed to making that enjoyable, because that could have been a huge mess.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. All those actors and characters and everything. The end of that movie did feel like a little bit like, oh, we're fighting these aliens. And I was kind of like, why are the aliens here?
Yeah.
But it was still, it didn't hurt my enjoyment of it. The fact that I thought about it later, and I was like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, and kudos to him for making the first thing of his that I've liked.
The most fun character in that movie was the Hulk. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty great.
You guys think that was the most fun character?
In Avengers?
Yeah.
Who did you think the most fun character was?
I don't know. I'm a big fan of Black Widow.
Well, you know what?
The most fun character? The haunted super spy.
I know what it's like to kill a man. I will say this. They managed to make the most uninteresting characters interesting. Like, you know, because you walking in, you're like, oh, this is Iron Man's movie to lose. But like,
David keeps scoring all the movies.
I do. I gambled on the movie and I made out pretty good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but you know, you're left with like Iron Man and a bunch of other stuffed shirts. But they're all super interesting in their own way, and they were all very entertaining. I give him kudos.
Although I got to say, if I was picking out Joss Whedon projects of the year, it would not be Avengers.
Oh.
Cabin in the Woods.
Really? You think so? Wow.
Cabin
Pretty
in the Woods.
Good.
I enjoyed it a whole lot in the theater, and I watched it again the other day, and I got to say, pretty great.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
I liked it fine. I had one problem with it that affects my enjoyment of the whole movie, but I still liked it. I still liked it quite a bit.
I'll give him big kudos on that one for he definitely takes a big steamer all over the entire genre of horror movies, but he does it in such a way that I don't think it was insulting, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
I don't know if I'd say take a big steamer on it. He looked at sort of like bad horror movies and made fun of their archetypes, and then he still managed to turn out a pretty terrible or a pretty scary movie. I mean, I think one of the scenes of the when I think of scenes that stuck with me this year from movies.
Yes.
That scene in Cabin in the Woods, here comes a big spoiler alert. Or if you're in Houston, oiler alert.
Boy.
Yep.
Because here come the Oilers.
Yeah. That scene where they leave sort of the woods and they go into this holding cell with all these other nightmares.
Yeah.
And you see everything that's in there. I thought that was the coolest of cool beans.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And then later on when those monsters got out and a unicorn stabbed somebody. Also pretty great.
Yep.
Another scene of the year for me, or this thing, one of the scenes that really stuck with me, also a pretty good movie in its own right, Looper.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The movie,
Looper's definitely on the list.
The movie Looper when, what's his name? The dude from There Will Be Blood? Paul Dano?
Paul Dano, yeah.
Yeah.
When they're cutting off, when future Paul Dano is like losing his fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's a mess.
And you find out that they're just have him in a surgery and just chopping off parts of him.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Oh, major spoilers throughout this entire show, by the way. Just in case.
You had a year.
Yeah.
So, Joe, though.
Yes.
What would be your number one movie of the year?
Oh, gosh.
And in all these things, we're just people.
Yeah,
we don't know what is good. It's not an objective. I mean, I can do that if you want it, but this is your favorite movie of the year.
I really wish I could look at a list of everything that came out. I saw a lot this year, and I really am... I'm very happy with that because the last couple of years I haven't been able to see a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't have a clear favorite, that's fine.
I'm having a hard time thinking of what all came out this year. I mean, Looper is absolutely on that list.
Yeah.
Looper was excellent.
Did you see The Master?
I did not see The Master.
Oh, so much for seeing all kinds of movies.
I didn't see all the movies, but I didn't see The Master, but Looper was excellent.
Uh-huh.
Looper was really good. All-time best of the entire year.
But all-time.
All-time best.
Can never change its answer, I guess. Right. Nope. Let it ring through the halls of eternity.
We have a chiseler outside ready to put it in stone.
What you say today will echo in the walls of forever.
And we'll engrave it on your gravestone.
Oh,
yes. Please do. Yeah.
And also, we'll put it on your tombstone pizza. Yeah.
Please do that too.
We'll arrange the pepperonis in a way that it's like a movie poster.
We'll spell Argo in mushrooms.
It's probably a toss-up between Avengers and Looper.
I would say. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Likes the science fiction. Both super good movies, in my opinion. Katie's sicking.
All right. Here's the thing. I feel like 2012 was like the year of really high expectations for directors that just fell slightly short of that. Paul Thomas Anderson and also Dark Knight.
Yep.
That whole... I didn't even say his name. I just said the movie franchise.
Yeah. Is that your nickname for Christopher Nolan?
Yeah, I just call him... Christopher Nolan is the Dark Knight.
I thought that movie with Dark Knight was a bad documentary about Christopher Nolan.
I thought you were talking about Django. Anyway, go ahead.
I didn't like that. I didn't. Let the record show. it's David the racist Christmas elf. I don't know why you're a Christmas elf. I didn't know why you were racist.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go
pretty
ahead.
Pretty good.
Here's the thing. It's like Paul Thomas Anderson, all of his other movies had like this strong narrative, and then The Master came. Hmm. Also, here's a disclaimer. I was drinking a lot during The Master. So
well,
maybe,
that's on you.
Yeah, that is on me. It's on my perspective of this. But I kept like thinking like, during the movie, I was like, where's the story? Like, there's, like, you just see everyone's, like, everyone has feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, like, there's just no narrative to it.
Right.
Drove me nuts.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's as aimless as Joaquin Phoenix is. And you're like, well, look, I'd also like a story.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to make you feel a certain thing, but you can also entertain me.
Yeah, I mean, the movie, like, it could not be more hyped coming out. Yeah. And I was watching it, and I was like, you know, oh, man, because I saw the Ritz, and I saw that what's a millimeter that it
70.
Was?
70.
70. And it was beautiful to look at, and, you know, it was creepy and two great performances. But at the end, when it was over, I was like, yeah, I guess it's great, I guess.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then I'd read reviews, and I was like, it's a story about, you know, these post-World War II America. And I was like, oh, okay. So something, it's a story about something that's not in the movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of these things where it's like, I'm sure it's great, but I feel like if it's not the best movie of the year for me.
Well, yeah. And it also, like, a movie should leave it all out there for you. You shouldn't have to go and do additional research in order to appreciate the movie more. Like, even though I say that about Mulholland Drive, there is a Salon article that helped me immensely through that movie.
I shouldn't have to read an article to like a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
it's a portrait, is what it is. A portrait piece. That's what Sofia Coppola called, what was that other one that she made?
Lost in Translation?
No, the other one.
Oh, the one about the Chateau Marmont, the movie?
No, not that one.
Virgin Diaries?
No,
Virgin
the one
Suicides?
That came out with Brad Dorff.
That was
Steven
the one.
Dorff. Steven Dorff.
Yeah, it was called Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah. It was Chateau Marmont, the movie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Somewhere was garbage. It was beautiful to look at, and there were some decent performances. But again, no narrative.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah,
it's like bare minimum I expect from a movie. I'd rather watch a really bad. I mean, think of it. The opposite of The Master is something like
Michael Bay.
An Arnold Schwarzenegger movie
where
he can't act and it doesn't look good, but he's there to kill his twin.
Well,
played
fine.
By Danny DeVito.
Expendables 2. I guess I won't talk about it at length. I took my knees out there, Karate Kid.
I will say this about The Master. I'll err on the side of giving it credit because it was a challenging movie, and I do appreciate something where, like, I was driving home and still like, well, you know, on the other hand, I did like it for this, this, and this. Like, it's still something that kept a conversation going, which is the opposite of like a Michael Bay movie or an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. It's like, I'm done with that. That was a good use of popcorn. Like, I don't know. I appreciated it.
But I feel like and I know this is unfair because we're only talking about movies this year, but in the Paul Thomas Anderson oeuvre, it's not going to be at the top.
No, it is not.
I feel like it's a movie that maybe, you know, years from now, will sort of maybe be remembered for the fact that it was vaguely about Scientology.
Yes.
And maybe that's about it. Mm. And prove me wrong, Master.
But
prove me wrong.
Do you guys think that that movie could have been fixed with like one extra scene or something that explained it? Like if at the very end, like, I don't know.
Well, see, I don't know that it needed to be fixed.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I think it was what it was. And like I said, I appreciated it. And
yeah.
Like you were talking about a challenging movie. I can appreciate that too. And, but at the same time, because of that like story deficit, I felt like it had, it didn't, you know, ring as or resonate as much with me as it maybe should.
But what if in the movie?
Have, excuse me.
What if in the movie everything's the same?
Yeah.
But then there's like that the opening scene he makes like a sand woman or whatever and lays on it.
Oh yeah.
What if at the very end the woman that he like is with is the sand lady?
What if the lady he's with her name turns out to be Sandy?
Uh huh.
Ah.
What if she works at a sandwich place?
What if Sandy is a big orange dog, and it turns out he's a lovable orphan?
What if she sells frozen custard on Barton Springs?
Okay, get this. We lose the whole World War II thing.
Yeah.
He's an orphan. Make him a girl, redhead. Sandy, big red dog. Put him in an orphanage. He gets adopted by a rich guy, and we set a whole thing in like post-depression.
Yeah, so like he's just walking around spending more bucks or something. Like he's like a daddy of more bucks or something.
Yeah, yeah, but we'll still call it. That'll be Philip Seymour Hoffman's character.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But we'll still call it The Master.
I love it.
Okay.
Sounds pretty good. Fixed.
So even though those movies were slightly below your expectations, Katie Sicking,
yes.
Did you have a favorite?
A
favorite or two?
I'm going to judge favorite by the movie that I wanted to watch again afterwards, which there weren't too many. And for me, that one was Lupa.
Oh, Lupa.
Okay. Oh, I liked Lupa.
See, I saw Lupin the Third by mistake in anime.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty great, though. Not disappointed.
Really?
Oh, my God. Couldn't follow it, but whatever.
I saw Looped, the word based on the movie based on the word that don't mean nothing. Forget it. Such a long walk.
Looper was pretty great, and I will say the Looper achieved something I did not think was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to hashtag this worst makeup decision of the year. And I still think it not necessary. The fact that they gave Joseph Gordon-Levitt that dumb face to make him look like Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I was like, look, we'll buy it. I mean, granted, like, just say he's a younger Bruce Willis, it's fine.
Right.
I think in that movie, Battleship, what's her face?
Rihanna?
Brooklyn Rihanna? Decker.
Brooklyn Decker.
Was supposed to be the daughter of Liam Neeson.
Okay.
Which is like, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
But.
Well, when a man and a woman come together.
Oh, okay. I would have bought that it was a future Bruce Willis. But you know what? Towards the movie, as it went on, I didn't even notice anymore.
Yeah, exactly. They did it in such a good way where you don't notice it after a while, like you just said.
And I was reading a review of Looper, and it pointed out that Rian Johnson, first of all, good year for Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
Because he also directed an episode of a really cool episode of Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
But Rian Johnson, he made something that was like wholly original. It wasn't based on a book or a repackaging of a previous like comic book property or something like that. Like if you look at he didn't have like a system in place. Like if you look at the top 10 movies of the year, money-wise, I think the only one that's like not based on anything is Brave.
Right.
Wreck-It Ralph.
I don't think Wreck-It Ralph finished in the top 10.
Oh, I don't think so either. Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph was really good.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Did anybody see Zero Dark Thirty?
No, because I'm not a movie critic. See, I hate that. Like that, it's like because I'm not a movie critic, so I didn't get to see it ahead of time.
Right. Exactly. I didn't get my Guild screener yet,
so it's not coming out until January 11th or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah. Here. And so I can't put that on my best of 2K13. It's going on there.
I want to see it so bad.
Yeah, I got a feeling that might be my number one because I'm already pre-programmed to like that stuff.
Well, I'm glad we learned our lessons from High Expectations this year. To where?
Well, I feel like it was the same thing with There Will Be Blood, whereas it came out like for select people pre-Christmas.
Oh, sure, sure. No, I get it.
But David Hatta.
Yes, sir.
Movie of the year for you.
Oh, good heavens. I'm gonna cheat and narrow it down to three because this is also my show. I'm gonna say Looper, like everyone else did.
Boring.
I thought it was super entertaining, and to be able to navigate through time travel, which is such a difficult task, and to do it in a way that didn't make you question plot holes or anything like that, very impressive, very well done. I would say Argo. I thought Argo for its it had some flaws, but it was still like completely gripping from beginning to end, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Argo I thought was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Looper wasn't completely plot hole free, but I didn't feel the need to get out a piece of paper and diagram it.
Exactly. Right. You knew you were along for a ride, and you took it with them.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I had no problem following it.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, all right, time out. Projectionist, stop the movie. Everyone, I have something that may alarm you. This movie doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'll pause for your gasps. Thank you. Yeah, Argo was great.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad we all agree. I'm going to throw one out there, which I guess technically it came out in 2011, but it came out overseas in 2011.
Dare you.
I saw it. It came out this year. It was a Scandinavian movie called Headhunters. And it was great.
Shrug.
Yeah, exactly. But that's one of those where, like, I knew nothing going in, and I just had a free morning, and I was like, oh, this is Planet Violet Crown. I'll go see it. And, man, I walked out. I was like, oh, that was great. And that was such a good feeling. Like, I might just be crediting the feeling more than the movie itself, but it was a very fantastic movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check that one out.
I'm surprised that no one has said one movie in particular.
Which is?
Well, hold on. I haven't given my answer.
Yeah, that's going to wait.
Well, I definitely enjoy a lot of movies this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, like, I don't know if I saw too many bad ones, maybe because I avoid them. I thought Skyfall was really great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Argo. Mm-hmm. I finally saw Moonrise Kingdom the other day.
Yeah. That was good.
And when it was starting off, I was like, oh, okay, this is weird. Wes Anderson's white world fantasy.
Yeah.
You can have a boy survive getting hit by lightning, but he can't have a slightly dark face in that Boy Scout troop. And there was some weird moments of like kids touching each other that I was like, I don't need to see that.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was one scene in that movie when these kids were reading letters to each other, but that was a voiceover, and then you just saw them, just a montage of them being furious at adults, and I thought that was amazing. However... I also want to give a special shout out to The Hobbit.
Mm.
I saw it in the high frame rate on Christmas night. Calvin didn't go, but the rest of my family did.
Okay.
And I saw it in the high frame rate in like IMAX 3D or whatever. And when the high frame rate started out, it looked weird and kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Because like if I move my hand from the left to right in a movie, you get like a little bit of a blur. In this one, there is no blur, and so it looks like everything's sped up at first. And it also looks like weird English television.
Yeah.
As it goes on, I start to like it. There's one scene, and I know that, what do you call it, processing scene, the master is probably better. However, there's a scene where they're fighting their way out of like a goblin hold or whatever.
Yeah.
The whole gang of stupid characters. The dumb Muppets. What if Muppets were human? All Muppets like were reverse Ninja Turtles. They were like bit by radioactive humans.
Yeah.
That's these hobbits.
Let's make these Dick Tracy villains adorable.
Yeah, exactly. But they're fighting out of their goblin, there's like goblin hold, and it's just set piece after action, set piece. And watching it on the big screen, I literally felt like I was on a roller coaster.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I don't describe too many movies like this, but it was exhilarating.
Okay.
Now, however, the movie of the year for me, and I guarantee it's personal reasons, I got to go Dark Knight Rises.
Sure.
Was that the movie you were thinking? Or what
no,
was the one?
Lincoln.
Oh, Lincoln was good and a great performance, and I'm going to sound stupid when I say this, but I really do feel like a Daniel Day-Lewis performance. I'm like, it's like a gift to us.
Yeah, it's true.
So, well, let me ask you this, because that movie looks like homework to me. So,
Lincoln,
should I see
Dark
it? Yeah, no, Lincoln.
Yeah, you should see it. It's okay. Really good performance. Okay. Dark Knight Rises, when I was watching the first Batman movie of that trilogy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Batman Begins, I was like, well, I hope this Batman movie doesn't suck. And when I was watching the second one, I was like, oh boy, another fun Batman movie.
Yeah.
When I started watching his third one, I could not have been more nervous that like Batman was, the things weren't going to turn out well. Like, and I got to say, the fact that I went into a Batman movie caring so much about a character or whatever. And like when I was a kid and I would read, there's this comic book series called The Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, sure.
And in the plot of The Infinity Gauntlet, at the end of Avengers, you see like in the movie, there's like a guy with a purple face, like winks at the camera or something. That's Thanos is his name. In the comic, he gets his like god glove and he kills half the universe. And so the superheroes try and stop him, those jerks. And they die. They get horribly murdered. Iron Man gets his head ripped off. He turns Wolverine's bones to adamantium or to rubber. And then he takes this Spider-Man gets beaten to death with a rock.
Okay.
And reading this in a comic at a young age, I was terrified. I was like, what is going on? And of course, they someone else gets a god glove, they come back to life.
Yeah.
But to have that feeling, and of course, they're not gonna kill Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, oh, I guess we'll let this million-dollar character die.
Right.
You know, that we publish 8 books a month of. It's like, nah, we'll keep him around.
This is the end of Spider-Man.
But, I mean, I cared so much about everything in, like, The Dark Knight Rises. It was, like, so tense about it or whatever.
Yeah.
Plus, I think that the technical achievement impressed me. And the whole, like, Batman thing, it didn't feel like a trilogy until the third one.
Because
I was like, oh, here's a Batman movie. Here's a fun sequel. It didn't feel like one story.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, like, one story Batman Begins, one with The Dark Knight. And then the third one, I felt like it was a part 3.
Yeah.
So I don't, as it stands on its own, maybe it's not the best movie, But I feel like as a conclusion to the trilogy, I don't know, it was awesome.
Oh, I think you should definitely give credit, and I hope The Dark Knight Rises doesn't diminish the scope of all three movies. Like, you lay those down, that is a masterpiece. Like, the third Link is a little weak compared to the other two, mm-hmm. but it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the third one leans on the first two uh-huh. a little much. It also feels slightly like if Heath Ledger hadn't died, I kind of wonder what if the movie would have been.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah.
But also the scale of the movie to, like, totally, like, devastate this city or mm-hmm. whatever, that was impressive. So I got to
go. I'll agree with you that it was right. definitely one of the best
yeah.
of 2012. But I think it suffered from two things, which was one, like what Katie was saying, high expectations.
Oh, sure.
Could not have been higher hype for a movie in recent memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, just everybody was waiting for it to dazzle us, and then when it just fell short of that, you know, by an inch.
By being a good movie.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yeah. yeah.
Still a very good movie. The other thing is, I think it's just, at least for me, there was just so many questions, like so many things that kind of didn't make a lot of sense in it. That just really took me out of it, you know. And
give me one.
Okay,
I'm not going to defend it, but we can talk about it briefly. we should take a break afterward.
If all they wanted to do was detonate a bomb in the city,
yeah.
Why start chaos? Why start a riot?
That's not all they wanted to do.
Okay, what was the other thing?
They wanted to destroy Gotham City and stuff and be cruel, evil villains.
Destroy them without a bomb?
No, destroy, like, have the people, like, give yeah. them hope and everything.
Destroy it from the outside and from the in. Like, destroy yeah. it structurally, but also bring it to its knees.
But it went on for, like, 6 months.
No, it was, like, a couple weeks or something like that. Maybe even if that.
I think. No,
it was seven months.
It was yeah. definitely a period of time, yes.
Oh, well, what he got handed to him. That Bane's a bad guy.
Wait, yeah, but is he? Because
he's pretty bad.
Yes, he's a bad guy. I mean, I guess the message of, like, you know, taking, you know, giving the city back to the people
uh-huh.
when all he really wanted to do, he was just going to blow it up, and it was part of it was about his feud with Bruce Wayne. I mean, I just am saying that element of it, the actual threat that is in the movie to Gotham City, to me was a little muddled
well, I think
by
he
two
wanted
separate threats that in the end, neither one of them really mattered.
Well, yeah. I gotta go off what Bane told me, all right? And look, I took Bane at his word. Yeah. You don't get to the head of the League of Shadows just by, you know, not pulling your weight.
Exactly.
What are the worst movies you saw this year?
That's a great, great question.
I can only tell you based on trailers, because I was not going to pay movie to go see a bad movie.
Sure.
See, me neither, but there's some things that still make me curious about them, and so I know going in, the worst movies of the year I did not see in theaters.
Yeah.
Okay. I did watch half to most of that Ghost Rider movie that
wow.
came out, and I was like, done with this.
Yeah.
I also watched that Snow White and the Huntsman movie.
Oh, ooh, no good?
That was a piece of crap.
Oh, man.
I'd say top two are number two is Twilight.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, Battleship.
See, oh, wow. Did you see any of these movies?
No.
Well, then you can't.
Oh. I saw
based on trailers
both
only.
Of those. And
why? What is your problem?
And you're right on both counts. Twilight, I will say, of the five Twilight movies, this was the most enjoyable
mm-hmm.
because there is a long, like, battle sequence that is actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
It makes something in that movie about something other than a dumb tween romance.
Well, good for Twilight.
Good for Twilight. And then the other one,
Battleship,
I saw on an airplane.
Sure.
And we all have a good friend that loved Battleship.
Yes.
Wept at
Who?
Battleship.
Who?
Erler.
I wouldn't get to say it because he's probably going to.
John Erler of the Elk Meeting Ritual wept at Battleship.
Wept.
Did he get a sour straw in his eye? Lauren McDaniel tweeted us, and she said, Paranorman was really awesome.
Oh, I do want to give credit to both Paranorman and Frankenweenie for exceeding my expectations. I enjoyed both of those immensely.
Wreck-It Ralph is probably also in my top three.
Yeah.
It was excellent. Beasts of the Southern Wild came out this year. That was really good.
We've moved on.
Oh, I like that you got your list out now.
Yeah.
Snow White and the Huntsman, I will say, what's her face in that movie? Kristen Stewart.
Uh-huh.
She looked like she was always like kind of annoyed at every line she gave. She was like, it's like if you replace her dialogue with her going, it would have matched up perfectly.
Yeah. Well, she just looks like that way in life. Like, I want to see her act in a movie next time. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Tell you what,
would they have to cast her as, though, to, like, make it Like, she's always cast as, like, a teenager or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Cast her maybe as, like, a doctor on a warship or something.
I think they should
cast... these bodies are piling up.
I don't know if I can save this guy.
He's too dead already.
Well, I was just about to say, hey, let's make her an action heroine, but that's exactly what Snow White was. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm at a loss now.
Oh, yeah, she was super believable in that.
The Grey came out this year.
The what?
The Grey.
Oh, yeah, that was early.
That was a movie that
took that Taken slot.
Did not, didn't Taken 2 take that Taken slot?
Let's just keep talking about Taken.
KOOP, you're on the air. KOOP, you're on the air. Yes, you. Cool. Take it easy. Thank you, callers.
coming through once again.
The Grey was not what I thought it was going to be. I'll tell you that much.
What do you think it was going to be? A rollicking thrill ride?
I thought it was going to be Liam Neeson killing some wolves. But instead, it was like, it's dark. It's the abyss looking into you.
Let's just stay alive.
Oh, also, he killed some wolves. Let's not kill. Let's not, I don't want to sell people on something that isn't. Hey, guys, I was thinking about my favorite music of the year.
Sure.
Oh.
And Sharon Van Etten came out with a really awesome album and was probably my favorite show of the year, was her at South By. And then, what's her face? Japan Droids had a really awesome album, Celebration Rock.
Yeah.
And, it beat out Gangnam Style. It was close. But their song House in Heaven, Bill, was probably my favorite track of the year. However, and I know this is cheesy and it's almost like expected that you could have, like, called this a year ago what my favorite album was going to be. But a thing called Divine Fits.
Sure.
By Divine Fits. I think I played it the most out of any other album. Here's my favorite track off of Baby Get Worse. More Mascot Winning Show coming up.
We're back with more Mascot Winning Show. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake, special in studio guest.
Oh, hey. I'm Katie.
It's Katie Sicking. Yes.
And Joe Parsons.
Hey. There we go.
Thank you.
We just heard Baby Get Worse off of a thing called Divine Fits by the band, spoiler alert, Divine Fits. Man, I got a New Year's resolution. Cut down on the times I say spoiler alert. Also, get better about podcasts.
Nah, you're doing great.
Hey, never mind then. Ha ha, I'm getting worse.
All right.
Go ahead.
During the break, we got a tweet from Nick J. Ramirez or something.
Big Nicky style.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Nick Ramirez. Surprise best comedy of the year, 21 Jump Street. I would have to agree with him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forget about
21 Jump Street was great.
That was a ton of fun.
That was good call, Big Nicky style.
Yeah. Thanks, Big Nicky style.
Yeah, this is I'd say people who had the best year. Matthew McConaughey, pretty good year.
Yeah.
Killer Joe, underrated film.
Bernie also, underrated.
Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie.
Right.
Although he just, they might as well call his character Matthew McConaughey in that.
Yeah.
Although Bernie, up until he killed that lady, I thought was just bad in a thousand. He was so involved with everything. I mean, he's close to my hero, James Franco, but couldn't pull it off because Franco didn't kill an old lady.
Yes. Moving on. That'll be his magnum opus.
But also Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum, one of his many feats of the year besides... what is it? 21
Mike.
Jump Street and Patrick Mike was also, he managed to get the G.I. Joe film delayed.
Yes.
So guys, we already talked about movies of the year. Let's breeze through TV.
Yeah.
And let's get this out of the way. Best of the year for me, got to be Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was excited every week to watch Mad Men. I'm excited every week to watch Homeland. It's moved on besides Guilty Pleasure to now, I don't know what you'd call it. Because I know it's not the best, but God, it's so entertaining. I still love Sons of Anarchy.
Sure.
Run through this world. And, however, I was never more excited to turn on the TV than when I was watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you call when you admit something? Full disclosure.
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure. I did not have HBO, so I did not see Game of Thrones Season 2. Mm-hmm. But I watched Game of Thrones Season 1 this year. Also an awesome show.
Game of Thrones Season 2 was awesome this year. It was
Is
really
that your
good.
Number one?
Number one, it's going to be tough to beat Breaking Bad, but I would say one of the things that I think that happened with me with TV this year was The League.
Yeah.
I got turned onto it this year and watched all of it, because it's all on Netflix.
See, The League this year, dropped off my much watch list for some reason. Like, this season I was like, oh, cool, The League's back, and then I was like, didn't watch, didn't care about it.
Yeah.
There's a show... And I mean, I thought Dexter, by the way, had one of its best seasons, but still the last two episodes were terrible.
Yeah.
But another show that I watched, it's the worst show of the year for me, because it did one of these things where I watched so much of it, and then I think I got to the season finale, and I was like, I hate this show.
Yeah.
Like, I used to watch Rescue Me, and I got, like, seasons deep until I was like, I hate everyone on this show.
Yes.
I fast forward, because I sit there with my TiVo button, I fast forward through, like, 30 minutes of the hour-long show. Mm. It's only 42 minutes with commercials. House of Lies.
Oh, wow. You did that one?
It starred Don Cheadle, who I love me some Cheadle.
Yeah, you got to love the Cheed.
And I also like that dude, John Ralphio.
Yes. Oh, Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched, like, I think every episode but one of that. And I was like, I can't stand this show.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did I watch so much of it? I hate it.
Was it one of those where you wanted to be ahead of the curve, where it's like, oh, people like these shows, I'm going to watch House of Lies before anyone else does?
You know, it was a new show, and I was like, I'll give it a try. And it's one of, because I find it's definitely easier to watch TV shows from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of like trying to catch up with like DVDs or wait for that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, no, it was bad.
That's a good show.
What do you guys think about Bob's Burgers?
I love Bob's Burgers. Right.
I heard nothing but good things about Bob's Burgers. Didn't catch it this year.
It's real good.
Yeah. I think this latest season is like the best.
Yeah. It's definitely hit its stride now. Yeah. Like, it shook off the early kind of, you know, feeling your way around, but no, it's great.
Yeah.
I will definitely check it out. I got to say, Louie was also great this year.
Oh, yeah.
A show for me that I thought really regained its footing, and I think partially maybe it's also because I thought Parks and Rec lost its footing a little bit, 30 Rock.
Oh, really?
I thought 30 Rock's been dynamite this year. Like, I felt like Parks and Rec, like the whole election thing, it was one of those things where it's like on Friends, what are those two idiots' names?
Ross and Rachel?
Ross and Rachel. I feel like that show, like at the end, it's like, oh, are Ross and Rachel going to get together? And it's like, I guess... Well, if I didn't watch this show, but I felt like 30 Rock or Parks and Rec was like, oh, is Leslie going to win the election? And I was like, I don't care.
Really?
I just want to like laugh at this show. And I felt like, I didn't care about it. Like,
oh, no. I mean, yeah, that sounded in tandem. It sounded really terrible.
Like, but the storyline, like, I was like, oh, as long as it produces a good episode, I want to see it.
Man,
but I mean, like, if she lost, I would have been okay with that. It didn't, like, bother me. But I felt like the show was like, oh, hope she beats Nick Newport Jr. I was like, I don't care if she wins, just as long as the show's good.
Okay.
Man. And I felt like the show sacrificed a
little bit. I couldn't disagree with you more. I feel like that's what's been wrong with 30 Rock for the last couple seasons is that... You know, it started out with, like, you know, they bring Tracy Jordan on board because they are trying to save this, you know, this crummy little show, and they're doing all this stuff. But then for the next, like, for a good two or maybe three seasons of 30 Rock, it's all about their personal relationships, and they're just not, they're not going anywhere. There's nothing at stake.
It's their weekly hijinks.
But that's right.
Yeah.
This is the difference between those two shows. It's like 30 Rock, the characters aren't that deep, but there's a lot more jokes in the dialogue.
Agreed.
Parks and Rec, they made the characters so one-dimensional, and then they try to put all the weight on the storyline, which can't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not as many jokes in the dialogue of Parks and Rec.
Sure.
Like, Aziz Ansari's character annoys me so much now because it's become, like, it's the most flattest character ever.
Yeah, like, they're trying to, like...
He's got something he's worth. I love that they are giving them something to work towards, a common goal. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I liked about the election storyline.
I think with 30 Rock, you have two characters that are clowns. You have Jenna and Tracy are clowns. So, in other words, like, they are real, like, you cannot take them seriously. And I feel like Parks and Rec, every character, I mean, like, Tom Haverford is very clownish, but he's like a real character.
Yeah.
However, like, giving him a relationship with Anne.
That was completely forced.
That was like filler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And however, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Jack's been on fire. I love that Jack and Liz.
That's true.
Jack and Liz.
Yeah.
That's just I'm not saying Parks and Rec's bad. I'm not saying it's as bad as that terrible show Community that people seem to like. Community's not terrible. It's just, I don't get it.
Hey, I'll say it's terrible. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Seeing red.
Does anybody else have a favorite show they want to give a shout? Oh, also, this is the year I discovered Adventure Time, and my life has changed forever.
Oh, my God.
I'm so full-on nerdgasm, or whatever you want to say for that show. Yeah. That blows my mind the way, what's that show? The show about the super jail.
Oh, okay.
Like, after I watched it, I was like, am I on drugs? Well, that was you who said that, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love Adventure Time.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've got a question. This is kind of a cheat, but we're coming up on the top of the hour. Was there anything you discovered in 2012 from another year that you was like, oh, thank goodness I found this year?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was the League for me.
Oh, okay. Great.
League.
Game Freaks and Geeks after just like years of people giving me a hard time about not seeing it. And I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's awesome. Welcome to the club.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Well, does anyone have any favorite other things of the year they want to mention? Because we're coming up on a, we'll call a wild card round.
Gosh.
I'll tell you this. Favorite news story of the year for me was that Spanish lady painting over that 19th century painting of Jesus, the fresco or whatever, and just leaving that glob. Oh, God. I still laugh about that.
It's so great. And that story had legs, too.
Awesome. Yeah.
So awesome.
It's so great.
Thank you, lady.
We get bored with all these news stories so quickly. That one still resonates. I love it.
Oh, I can see that picture now, and it just, it'll tickle me. It'll tickle me so.
Oh, God. I would have... Oh, how much would you have paid to be there when that priest or monk, whatever, walks by and then, like, does the backward double take? Drops his gelato or whatever he's eating. Whatever, like,
they're in Spain.
Well, I don't know. Whatever people in Spain eat. Never been there.
Paella.
Exactly. He drops his gazpacho. You said you have a temp job of the year?
Yeah. Okay, so I work a lot of temp jobs in New York. The hands down best temp gig of the year was worked in a warehouse sorting baby clothes.
Wow.
And like, but then on top of that, like, no supervision, and like there's like no one checks on you at all. So I would just like one time Will
what
Story
was the,
and
I met him the other night, by the way. What was the goal of this warehouse?
They just needed the like the female baby clothes separated from the male baby clothes, and that's it. But it's like literally like just bins and bins
and
bins.
Were these going to stores?
No, I don't know. Like, the thing is, they gave me so little information and they just shoved us in this warehouse. Will and I worked it for one day and we started, like, after a while, it's like huge in there, like cavernous and it echoes. So we started singing like just stupid songs because it's like after hour two, you could really not care anymore. We started singing about being illiterate. And that was like right when a like a woman came in to go check on us, right when we were like, I can't read, I am illiterate, and like singing, and also just like even worse, like just bad things.
Yeah.
And then she heard that, and then we saw her just like turn around and go back. Like she was just like, I'm not here, and like didn't want to be involved.
So you didn't come back day two?
They actually like ask me back all the time, and I tell them no. Because
sequel opportunities.
Yeah.
Is the manager there like, no, boy close here, girl close here. Where is Katie Sinking? Oh, heaven sent her to me once.
I'll go personal achievement this year is I built a fireplace.
Oh, yeah.
In my living room.
Oh, I got another one. Back patter of the year. Oh, Joe Porter.
You
swept the patties.
I really am. Like, it turned out a lot better than I thought it would. And it involved this whole, like, built-in bookshelf thing. And there's tile and stone. And, you know, it was this really big thing I didn't know I could do. And I did. So
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The patties. Moment of the year.
Ooh,
back
in
with patties, yes.
For you guys, for anyone, best celebrity sighting of the year.
Ooh, did I see any celebrities this year? Surely I have.
You guys missed it with all the festivals.
With all the festivals.
Yeah.
Yes, Aunt Aunt Katie. We do have a very...
What are the skits that you're doing at those festivals?
I don't know if it's definitely not of the year. But during South by Southwest, I saw a guy from Barcelona. I saw Matthew Illiard like three times.
Really?
I was like, are you bothering stalking me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I met, using his term loosely.
Uh-huh.
I saw Ron Swanson.
Whoa.
Oh, sure.
Oh, Nick Offerman.
And I went up to him and I was like, hey. And he goes, hey. And I shook his hand and then I just walked away because I'm awkward.
Leave him wanting more.
He wanted more information as to why that happened.
Does Doug Benson count?
Yeah,
sure it does.
Yeah, good old Doug Benson.
Right. That guy's cool.
Yeah, the patties again.
Two-time patty award winner.
You asked me celebrity sighting.
Katie, did you have
not collaborated?
Yeah. I didn't tell the story.
This one's pretty recent. I saw Jack McBrayer on the subway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and but like the thing is like you feel bad because they're on the subway, so you're like, oh my god, Jack McBrayer! Like he would be surrounded, like just like smothered to death, by everyone else on the subway. But like Nick was with me, and we like tried to give him like a cool head nod.
Comedian Nick Ramirez.
Yes, comedian Nick Ramirez.
Your boyf.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my boyf. He like gave us like a really like sly tip of the hat.
He's wearing a cap?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know if he was. He was like basically did, you know, the thing like when people like do like they nod their head.
Yeah.
Keep eye contact. it made my day, and I felt so cool that I didn't throw up on myself.
That's awesome.
Achievement.
You did it.
Very cool. We're coming up against the top of the hour. We're actually going to push into the clear spot a little bit.
Take a clear spot.
Yes. Oh, it's a sub anyway. Who cares? But let's let's get this out of the way. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, at Mascot Wedding. Anything left to report, Mac?
Happy New Year, everybody. Especially you, David Hotta.
And especially to you, Mac Blake.
Thank you to our guests for coming on. Yes. Katie Sick and Joe Parsons. You guys
Thank you. My sketch show Sunday, 8:30, Coldtown.
If you want to.
But yes, Sunday, 8:30, Coldtown. You and your boyfriend, Nick Ramirez. Should be a fun one.
Yep. Joe, anything to promote?
Not right now.
Oh, fair enough.
All right. It's a foregone conclusion that my record of the year would have been Royal Headache's self-titled album. This is Pity. We'll see you next year, everybody. Bye.
Don't close my loop, David. No.